I had a nickel for every time I heard the Queensland nickel was. I'd have a lot of nickels. I'd have at least 4 nickels. Now, let's trick.
The football sack.
G'day there, it's time for the Sack on Sunday. That's right, the Football Sack podcast is on your earphones again, coming to you, not live, delayed, recorded as a podcast. Pete Nowakowski joins me in the studio. Thank you, sir. How you going? Woo!
Yes, I am here. It's very good to be here, in fact. So thank you very much for letting me in the studio this week.
You and I, my name being Matt Greenlaw, I'm the editor of thefootballsack.com.
Yes.
You and I are fresh off the back of a fantastic show on Beyond the 90 this morning.
We are.
Now, that is our radio show that is broadcast on Sunday mornings, and then after the show, we record the podcast. That was a bit of fun, wasn't it?
It was brilliant fun. So if you haven't already, definitely tune in to Beyond the 90. Grab their podcast, beyondthe90.podbean.com. But this is the Football Sack podcast, and it means for Football Sack antics.
Yes, that's right. And while we're spruiking how you can get the show, you can subscribe to this podcast, and you can do that via iTunes or on the RSS feed on our new podcast page, which is on thefootballsack.com.
So you How awesome is that?
Yeah, looks new. There's also a cool new button on thefootballsack.com on every page, which clicks to the most recent episode of the podcast. You can just click play on any page that you're on the website for.
That is pretty awesome.
And you can listen to our voices.
Well,
what
done.
Is better than that? So yeah, subscribe to the show. We'd love you to do that and get the word out there on football. Look, we had fun in the show on the show for Beyond the 90 just before, but now we've got to talk business because there have been some outlandish quotes coming out from Gold Coast United, reported to be saying from Clive Palmer. Now, the main thing that has got me is that he has said that the A-League is a joke. And then he doesn't think that he's ever going to talk to Ben Buckley again in his life. Pete, immediate response on Clive's quotes.
Immediate response is quite simply...
Yeah.
Why on earth is he saying rubbish like this? Like, okay, Clive Palmer, if you don't like the sport, then why are you owning a club in that sport? Well, now, I would love to see Gold Coast survive this and keep fighting through, and I would really, really like to see Clive Palmer stick around owning the club but in a different role.
Okay.
I don't want him to be the chairman. I don't want him to have such an influential role. I just want him to give the money to the club and just say, that's it.
Look, he's come out and said that he doesn't even like the game. He told the Sunday Mail that, and he thinks it's a hopeless game. Rugby league's much better. He went on to say that the club is very small, insignificant portion of what he does. And he's got over $20 billion of projects. That's a lot of money.
Now, another thing which Clive Palmer's actually said in this article on the Courier Mail is, if you wanted to stay in the A-League, if the FFA wanted to take the license off them, they'd all be in court and Ben Buckley would run 1,000 miles. That's the reality of it. That's all we can say we can like. The A-League's a joke. I don't think I'll ever talk to Ben again in my life, to be honest.
Yeah. Now, I don't know whether that is true or not, that the FFA would struggle in court with this proceeding. I think they'd have a bit of a case. And I'm not sure how it works, but aren't all franchises officially the license is held by FFA? Can they not take back the license at any point?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Well,
there's a lot of...
Effectively, yes, but also at the same time, they don't want to be removing clubs just for the sake of removing them. It would be North Queensland Fury all over again, because we saw that so many people and so many players there, they lost their living, they lost their houses, they lost their lifestyle, and we don't want to see the same thing happen at Gold Coast. People are selling their houses now.
You talk about that up at North Queensland Fury. The difference being is that players up there were on 2-3 year contracts, and what has happened here at Gold Coast United is that players are not on 2 or 3 year contracts. They're on 1 year contracts, and only one player is on anything more than that, and that's Ben Halloran. And he's next year's only hope, really.
Yeah,
he's the only player signed on.
We made ourselves a football sack time machine, and we've gone in the future, and we found out what's going to actually happen next year if Ben Halloran is the only player.
That sounds like a massacre.
I feel sorry for Ben Halloran.
Yeah.
Because
he's being overrun by every other club and every other team that have 11 players and 21 rostered players compared to Gold Coast 1.
Yeah.
I believe that's the case. Is that the, that is the case that it's, he's the only...
He's the only player who's signed for next season.
Well, so that's close to the case.
Christian Reeves could be gone. Gerald Tyson could be gone.
James Brown has just signed deal with Newcastle Jets. I believe that is a two-year deal with the Jets. He has come out and said that he's very happy to have signed that. He's looking forward to that next year, but obviously focusing on the rest of the season with Gold Coast. They will only see their players get lost to other clubs very shortly, unless they seal them up and get them as soon as they can and really justify their place next year. They need to be signing the players to show that they're going to be around next season. And these quotes that are coming out from Palmer possibly show, or probably show, I would say, that Gold Coast won't be around next year. Or will he keep... Do you think that, or will he keep it just to spite Ben Buckley?
This is hard-hitting questions right here on the football set.
Really answer that. Look, will he keep it just because? Just because he can, because he's got that much money. He's got $20 billion worth of projects, like he says. What will he do? Will he keep the club and not... It's just that he doesn't care, Pete.
I think it would be absolutely stupid if the club folded. Now, we already have three young clubs in Gold Coast Titans, Gold Coast Suns, and Gold Coast United, all... In that area, they should be working together, thriving together, and having a community, but they're not. And the fact is that all of the clubs are suffering.
They are. And all three clubs have finished, or will finish.
Wooden spoon.
Yeah, they've all got the wooden spoon. And Gold Coast are no doubt heading for that direction. There's actually an interesting article up on thefootballsack.com displaying that image of
all three. I saw a picture of James Brown running with a wooden spoon.
Yeah, that's there.
I always got told when I was a kid, don't run with wooden spoons.
No, that's a knife. Wooden spoon's fine to run with.
Oh, right. Well, glad you cleared that one up for me.
Were you running with knives and not running with wooden spoons?
Yes.
Yeah, you had that backwards.
Cool. Let's move on to another piece of news which is going on. Let's have a look at Perth Glory for a second.
Yeah, Perth Glory, they're doing very well. Obviously, coming at third, I believe, now. Last night. Was it last night?
Yes.
1-0 win over... 2-0 win.
2-0 win.
You're putting up fingers, showing your numbers to me.
Yep.
Pete, you take
2-0 over. 2-0 win. Perth Glory managed to get a 2-0 win over Newcastle Jets. That was Saturday night in front of just over 8,000 people. Goals scored by Adam Hughes and Billy My Mate.
Billy My Mate. Billy Me Mate.
Yep.
That's Billy Mehmet.
Yeah. Well, Perth Glory, things are going right for them at the right time, basically. Adam Hughes came on in the 13th minute, 3 minutes later, or actually 2 minutes later. He managed to get himself on the score sheet. Now, this was the fastest goal a substitute has scored in the A-League ever. Ever in the A-League. Now, the record previously was held by Chris Payne when he was at Newcastle Jets during the 2010 final series. This is going back into the back of my head of stupid little facts that I remember. But Adam Hughes is in the record books and he's doing okay.
Good on him. And those facts are why we love you, Supernova.
Oh, thanks.
Look, Perth Glory, stand out. They, earlier on in the season, weren't doing so well, but now... Liam Miller, unfortunately, he got injured last night. I don't know whether he's okay or not. I haven't received word on that. Fingers crossed he's okay. Shane Smeltz now firing. Earlier on in the season, there was big hopes for him, but he's still the top goal scorer, I believe, at Perth Glory with plenty of goals.
Billy Mamet is with 5.
Oh, my mate's got more goals. How much has Smeltz he got?
I believe he's on... No, actually, you are right. Shane Smeltz, he's got 9.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I thought 5 was a few too little.
Yes, Shane Smeltz, he's got 9 on the score sheet. Top goal scorer being Beshut Berisha, then Jeremy Brockie.
Well, me mate, he needs to get a few more goals.
Socks.
Yeah.
Well, he's just signed a 2-year deal with the club. Same with Jacob Burns. So they will be wearing Perth Glory colours for an extra 2 years.
And what's the news on Ian Ferguson as a coach for the next season?
He doesn't have a contract yet.
Not yet. Because shoring up these top players on these contracts is great for the club and great for him. And I think the club would prefer the stability of keeping him on, especially after seeing how they're going towards the back of this season. Do you think, or... What are you looking at me saying?
Look, it's a tough decision. Admittedly, I'm not a fan of Ian Ferguson. Never have been, never will be, despite the fact...
But he's doing so well at the moment.
Still not a fan of him. I think he's a better assistant coach. He's more of a mate to the guys. He gets on better one-on-one with each of the players than he does as a first-team coach, where they're meant to be more of like a dictator. But
if he goes on and wins something, wins the possibly the championship with this club, what does he have to do to change your mind of him as a coach?
If Perth Glory do win this season, I'll do a dare that the football sack give to me. I will actually go ahead and do it. We can film it. You can do a photo, whatever. I don't care.
You heard it here first.
I will do whatever the football sack dares me if Perth Glory actually do win this season.
I think that's a call to arms. So listeners, if you're out there and you have a dare that you think that Supernova could perform, write to us. info@thefootballsack.com.
Well, let's start a new hashtag on Twitter. Just say Supernova's Dare.
Supernova's Dare.
Think of something and we'll work out something anyway.
Yeah, Supernova's Dare. We'll follow that hashtag. And if any come up, we'll talk about them next week on the show.
Yeah.
And we possibly will get you doing them if Perth Glory win the championship. I don't think they're going to win the Premiership.
No, they won't. That's why I'm making this dare. Previously in the A-League, we also had Melbourne Heart having a 1-0 win over Gold Coast United. It was the most boring game of the A-League. Eli Babao getting that goal in the 80th minute. That's all we need to talk about there because it was boring.
That was a good goal, that one.
It was a good goal, but still, Gold Coast United, you'd think that they'd want to push forward. They had the young 17-year-old Mitch Cooper as the captain for that game.
Well, I think you have to forgive them when they've got a 17-year-old captain in Mitch Cooper, and they've had all these troubles off-field. On-field, they've got plenty of woes as well. The reason that they have such an inexperienced team is because they're all out injured.
Yeah, but you also have to ask, what does a captain actually do on the football field these days? Because about 10 years ago, you could say that the captain actually had some form of responsibility and they could go up to the referee and they could discuss things, they could actually change a game. Now, what does a captain actually do?
Well, you're kind of right in that it's a ceremonial role, but the players do respect it. It's such an honour to be given the captaincy armband.
Well, in Italy, for example, the captain is the most capped player.
Yeah.
And I think that is a brilliant idea, but here in the A-League, it doesn't really have that much of an influence.
But is it more of an Australian thing that the captaincy is such a well-respected gig? You see in the cricket, Ricky Ponting, such a well-respected man.
True, but in the cricket...
And it was such a big deal for him to give it over to Clarkey.
And in the cricket, though, the cricket captain has almost as much power in the nation as like the Prime Minister does. It's like this massive amount of responsibility on their shoulder that the cricket captain actually has. In football, it just doesn't have that same influence.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if I agree with you there, but...
But look, if people do agree with me, awesome. If they don't, then...
Let us know what you
go
think.
Go shove it.
Let us know. No, let us know what you think. Well, your opinion is valued here at the Football Sack. Let's move on to a different result. Central Coast Mariners last night.
Yes.
They got a 2-0 win over Wellington Phoenix. They really showed why they are the top of the league. Dominating, really, Wellington Phoenix. Phoenix made a run of it, but Mariners there with plenty more shots on goal. And you're about to give me the exact statistic with their shots on goal. Phoenix shots on goal. No, you're not.
No, I don't have shots on goal statistics.
That's not a statistic?
I'm sorry.
Are we looking at the Ultimate A-League Plus app?
No, I'm looking at the Ultimate A-League app, which tells me what's happened, as in who gets the yellow cards, who are the lineups on the field, when substitutes happened. I'm looking at the table here, seeing that Central Coast Mariners, in the last five games, they've had a win, two losses, and two wins. So
we were supposed to be giving it a little plug.
We are giving it a plug. It is an amazing app.
We just thought that'd be nice because it's such a good app. But I've come in and asked for a statistic that doesn't have... Which is bad. We're sorry.
Statistics I can give you, though, is like the goal scorers, who has the most
bookings. Yeah, who scored the goals?
Who scored the goals? It was the young kid, Rogic, who managed to... Rogic, sorry.
Yeah, we got to get that right. They made a big point on the show
on the
last
football,
night.
Yeah, didn't commentary, they? Yeah. So Rogic got himself on the score sheet in the 50th minute, and then Patrick Svansvijk, who has scored again. He's just phenomenal.
He is a defender, and he has five or six goals now. That's plenty of goals. Only second to Matt Simon, who is now away from the club. So he's... Now, Patrick Svansvijk is the top goal scorer.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Svanstrijk, he's got 6 goals now next to his name. It's pretty damn good for a defender.
I mentioned this on Beyond the 90, and you didn't go with me on this, but I think that Central Coast Mariners have some sort of... it's a weird little point that players have couples, and they all sound the same. They're last names.
Yes.
They sound similar. And I, as commentator, get them mixed up. For example, Bernie Abini, yes. Mustafa Amini. Yeah?
Yeah, but it's also Benny Benny, so...
Yeah, okay, go with me.
Yeah, yeah.
Kwasnik, Svanstrijk.
Okay.
For me, that sounds... It looks kind of similar when you look at it.
Well, another one you can have is Chris Coyne, Jamie Coyne.
Yeah, well, that's because it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
But also, what was the other? Bowich and Rodzic. Very similar names.
Ivan Franjic, Petr Franjic.
Okay, stop raining on my parade. This is a Central Coast Mariners phenomenon,
yes.
And I believe that they're signing players because they sound like other people's names that they've already got. They're like, oh, he's probably quite good.
Okay, fair enough. Well,
if that's true, Mariners guys, let us know because
Ben O'Neill, who's the media manager at Central Coast Mariners, I know you are listening to this podcast. And please
just confirm that for us. Confirm that you are.
Are you signing players simply because the names are similar and it's easier for you to remember?
Yeah, that's probably what's going on. Let's move on to another game.
The big one.
Mm-hmm.
Brisbane Roar versus Melbourne Victory.
That got 18,500
people.
Isn't that a lot of fans? And that's because of the travelling Harry Kuehl circus that has been giving the A-League a good boost in crowd numbers over the past season.
To use a Fox Sports term, setting the league alight.
Yeah. Good term.
Thank you.
Now, 3-2 win for Brisbane Roar there. Berisha.
40 seconds in and scoring. Phenomenal. He walks up past 4 defenders from Melbourne Victory and shoots at the bottom of the corner.
After only 43 seconds or something along those lines, wow. Those defenders, what were you doing? Because there was 4 of you around there and he recovered the ball after it originally being tackled, I believe, and then slotted it home pretty well.
Yeah.
But top corner was back of the net.
Low to the left hand side or to Kovic's right side. It was brilliant.
Something. Wherever it was, it went well into the back of the net.
He hit the back of the net. That's all that matters. Then 8 minutes later, Harry Kuehl scored himself a goal. So good to see him getting another one there. Beshart Berisha hitting the back of the net for the second time in the game in the 32nd minute. Then Henrique scoring a penalty just before the break after, Ubo Lozado stuck out his leg the second time that
you're not happy with him as a defender.
I'm not a happy man.
Give
with
me
Ube.
One sentence why. Go.
He sticks his legs out too much.
Okay, thanks. So that game, obviously, Brisbane Roar showing why they are such a good team and why they're coming second.
Game also questioned whether or not Mark Milligan will ever be a father because he got hit in the privates about 5 times, I counted. So
every person, every man listening to this podcast is now wincing at that thought. I'm sure in your footballing careers it's happened to you at least once and we hate it. It's happened to me, Pete. Has it happened to you?
Yes. Yeah. I was a defender, so it happened to me a couple of times. We could probably start a drinking game about this of Mark Milligan getting hit in the privates whenever it happens.
It's a rarity. Come on, it's not the best drinking game.
No.
And I just thought I'd bring up that we played indoor a while back and I hit you in the head with the ball. And I thought I'd apologize on air officially.
Thank you.
Because you weren't very happy with me.
At the time, no. But that's okay. We'll move on. Life goes on.
Push on.
Yes, push on. Adelaide United versus Sydney FC. That one is on Sunday afternoon. Get involved. It's at Hindmarsh. If you're already listening to this podcast, you must be psychic.
Yeah, well, sometimes people listen to show through the week, and that's great. That's what we want. But for those listening this afternoon on a Sunday, tune in. Fox Sports 1. We predict that Sydney FC went all out and got a 5-0 win over Adelaide United.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports, and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
We have a competition running right now, Pete Novakovsky, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about that? Because that's your passion project and you're running that competition. How's it going so far? Do we have a couple winners? And what's on offer next?
Well, we have been running a competition for the last 2 weeks and we will be for the next 2 weeks. It is a chance to win a signed copy of the much acclaimed DVD Tom at Zizzle, the story of Thomas Broich. Now, in the first week, we simply asked you to comment in the box of the article saying why you think that you deserve to win this. And Max Toto, a guy from Germany, managed to score himself a copy of that DVD that was posted out. So congratulations to you. Then last week on Twitter, we simply wanted people to say, I want to win a copy of Tom at Zizzle. And we had over 70 people
put
their name in. And that was fantastic to see. Name drawn out of the hat, Kaylee Stewart. So congratulations to Kaylee Stewart.
Congrats
for that.
To Kaylee Stewart. So this week we've got a different variant on the competition where people have to email in their reworkings of the DVD cover, I believe.
Yeah, quite simply, I would like to see what people want to see, the front cover of Tom Meets Zizzou or a movie poster, whatever you would like, what you want the design to look like, email it to us at info@thefootballsack.com, and quite simply, I could post you a copy of Tom Meets Zizzou just by winning. That. Too easy.
We'll pick the best one and send you a copy of that. There's a couple of cool stickers. And it's also, we should let you know that it is signed. It's a signed copy
of the DVD. It is signed on the front cover by Thomas himself. Mm. Good mate of mine. And yeah, I'm very happy that this competition is going forward.
Yeah, no, it's a great competition. And we at the Football Sack are happy to run it. We just like giving stuff away for free, don't we?
We do. We this podcast. Love giving things away for free.
This podcast available for free.
This podcast is for free.
It is.
That is so cool.
Yeah, I wasn't just pocketing the money.
Oh, that's all right. That we would I was going to say, like, hook a brother up, but that's okay.
No, we can't. So as this podcast is for free, we'd like you to subscribe if you enjoy what you're listening to, if you enjoy Hyundai A-League. When this season wraps up, we'll be talking some State League football, W League when it's on. So if you are, if you enjoy the Football Sack podcast, the Sack on Sunday, click the subscribe button on the iTunes website or iTunes store. And that means that you'll get every episode downloaded instantly and automatically when it becomes available. So you don't have to go searching for it, Pete.
Did you know that this is actually the 90th edition of the Football Sack podcast?
Is it really? I have a feeling you just wanted to use that sound effect.
Possibly. But look, it is the 90th episode, so this is quite special for us. We will be having a party for our 100th podcast. So if you have a party idea, Matt G and I will MC it. We'll do something special.
We'd like to do something special, like really special for our 100th episode because, we've been going on for about a year and a half, 2 years, and it'd be great to celebrate 100 shows. Right. Let's talk a bit about what's on the website at the moment. There's a few articles. Obviously, we've got the follow-up articles from every game this past weekend. But over and above that, there's some cool content on there that you might enjoy. My thing that I like to talk about is Sack Attack.
And that's, I was actually just reading Sack Attack.
Yeah? Brilliant. Do you like that by Agaki Bautista?
It's absolutely brilliant. My personal favorite, though, is the Flares.
I'll just let the listeners know what this Sack Attack is all about. It's a web comic. You might have seen it already. It's very popular at the moment. Just a bit of humor about the past week in football. And that comes out every Wednesday.
My favorite web comic is, of course, the Melbourne Victory Flares, because, as we know, Flares in the A-League requires a 5-year ban.
Yeah.
But definitely check it out. It is fantastic comics that come out every Wednesday, like you say.
And there's cool Melbourne Heart one out there at the moment.
There is.
It was a special Valentine's Day themed one for last week. So check that out. Yeah, I laughed when I read it.
The other good thing is we also have our Photoshop article, which gets released.
Yeah, the one-stop A-League Photoshop. Do you think that's a good name? Is it catchy enough?
It's a bit long.
If you've got a better name for the one-stop A-League Photoshop, let us know, because there was a bit of discussion in the staff, the back rooms of the Football Sack staff.
Around the office of the Football Sack staff.
Over the cooler.
Yeah.
The name of that is a bit too long, and we need something a bit more catchy. So perhaps if you've got a good idea, let us know at the Football Sack Twitter or wherever you can, how to get in contact with us.
Just type in Google, the Football Sack. You'll find us, contact us in some way.
But that article, that was very popular this week. Our most popular article of the week, the Photoshop fun from the round of football. My favorite is Mitch Nichols in a Superman outfit.
It's an interesting one. I'm sure that Christian Leyland, our chief of staff, was quite impressed to see Mitch Nichols in a Superman outfit.
And that was because he performed so well.
He did.
When he came on.
And he has been actually fantastic all season, so credit to Mitch Nichols for performing so well. Now, let's jump across and have a look at some Asian Champions League news, because Adelaide United had to play a Champions League game on Thursday night. Now, Eugen Galekovic said that they weren't too sure about what to expect from this team.
Not
because
much.
They were playing Pasura, the team from Pasapura.
Yeah.
The team from Indonesia. And Adelaide weren't too sure about what to expect from this side. And it actually seems that the club could be in a bit of trouble because they fielded Cassio. And from what we're hearing of all reports, Cassio actually had received a red card in his previous Asian Champions League game, which means that he should have been out. So he would have been an ineligible player for this game.
Mm. And what they have to decide now is whether this wasn't indeed, I guess, firstly, an Asian Champions League official match, because it was thrown together so quickly. Also, whether Cassio playing would have affected the result at all, which I don't believe it would have, because the Indonesians weren't the greatest side to ever grace Hindmarsh Stadium. Adelaide United, they're bottom of the competition, well, they're bottom two, and not really performing very well in the A-League. But
no.
Asian Champions League comes around, they really turned it on, didn't they?
Because they have a team built for the Asian Champions League. That's what they do. They perform well in that style of competition.
Yeah, you're right.
In the A-League, they don't. And so it shows so much that that's what happens at the club. But with Cassio, the biggest issue now is, if the club is found out that Cassio is ineligible, it could mean that Adelaide will be out of the Asian Champions League.
That would be really unfortunate and disappointing.
That would be a massive slap in the face.
Mm. Especially since they've accepted that they had to play this round of football against this team from Indonesia, despite having already won the spot or been given the spot before, prior to this, and then a legal proceeding had to come in and make them play this game. I, for one, don't think that it should stop them from being part of the Asian Champions League. They deserve to be there. Like you said, they are made up to be an Asian Champions League winning side. And they came so close a couple years ago when they were grand final runners-up.
Fingers crossed that things sort themselves out for Adelaide. Now, tackling the big issues here at the football side.
Yeah.
The biggest issue of the week, though, is the vanishing line. Now, we're not talking about makeup here. We're not talking about any form of anything
drug
else
abuse.
You think of. Nor are we talking about Robbie Fowler's latest addiction. We are, of course, talking about the vanishing line, which the referees in the MLS use to mark the 10-yard line for when free kicks are taken for the wall.
Yeah. Now, FIFA have come out and said that they are thinking about placing this in all league fixtures, in all fixtures in their, what is that, international fixtures?
Yes.
Just internationals or...
Well, they're trying to test it out to work out what's the best way to do this, whether or not they're going to use it across the board and say every league has to use this, or they're going to use it in internationals, whether or not they're going to test it in a competition like the Europa League, like they did with referees behind the line. But this is the big issue of whether or not the vanishing line is worthwhile to bring in, or if it's just a gimmick for American football
Is it a little
supporters.
Bit too fiddly for the referee to be worrying about? Or, I mean, it's only really used for the free kicks and and players making sure that they're 10 yards away. So I have no problem with it because it's a good innovation. I like innovation in sport. I don't like it going over and above, but this is a small addition that can make a big difference. Because the referee no longer has to worry about how far the line has to be, or how far the wall is. Because if players step over that line,
you
that vanishing line,
you can see it straight away.
You can see it. Free kick straight away. Or yellow card him, whatever. You can be very you can then be very tough on going over that line because it's instantly seen.
Exactly. So I'm all for this vanishing line. I think it's a fantastic idea. I would love to see it used in the A-League. Perhaps Mark Shields will consider it. He is, of course, the head of the referees here in the A-League.
Mm.
But moving internationally now, we have Rangers FC. They've hit some hard times.
We've got to talk about it.
We have to talk about it here. They've gone
because
into
it's
administration.
Quite relevant, isn't it?
They have. Yeah, yeah, it's true. It is relevant. They've gone into administration. They're out of money. They've been deducted 10 points, yet they still sit second on the table.
Yeah, and that just shows that the class between the top two sides in Rangers and Celtic, and then the next team. Oh, is it Motherwell?
Yes.
Yeah, who are coming third. It's just a class above. Relating that to, obviously, all our A-League clubs and their financial troubles, there's a number of clubs that have had that over the years, and none bigger, any bigger, or coming even close to Rangers,
merchandising sales. They're renowned around the world.
It's a worldwide brand, yeah. And if we lost a team like Rangers, it would be absolutely devastating, because we know that there are plenty of Scottish Premier League fans across Australia and indeed the world, and it would be absolutely shocking.
And on the Beyond the 90 show that we just were on an hour ago, which is our radio show that you should tune into, a little bit of a spruik there, we had Damo on the show talking and saying that if you lose Rangers, then you lose the Old Firm Derby, and that's the big moneymaker.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the Old Firm Derby league.
Yeah, you lose Celtic, and then you lose Celtic. You lose the league. So the league is struggling. So I don't know what we can say to people. Buy a Rangers jersey. Help them out.
Keep the faith.
Yeah, keep the faith.
Keep the faith.
That's good.
I think that's a good little motto.
Look, I think that is about all we have time for. Pete Supernova, I know I'm very aware that you have to get away to report on some matches for the New South Wales, for Football New South Wales.
Yeah, I'm off to watch some Women's Super League pre-season games, so I'm very keen for that. There is also, of course, the New South Wales Premier League, which kicks off on the 31st of March.
Which we're very excited
it's
about.
It's about 6 weeks away now. We are absolutely excited and stoked, and we can't wait for this. If you have a suggestion of what you want to see us do with the State League reporting this season, get in contact.
Yeah, because I'm very open to ideas.
Last season we were quite new to it, but we would like to try and develop that a bit more. So if you have any suggestions, please let us know.
Yeah, great. Well, my name has been Matt Greenlaw. I'm the editor of thefootballsack.com. Thank you for joining us on The Sack on Sunday.
That was the Football Sack Podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.